We are joined right now in studio by an All-American, a first-team All-SEC player, as an all-purpose player and a returner. He was a second-team All-SEC as a receiver. 16 receiving touchdowns, 7 rushing touchdowns, 4 kickoff return touchdowns, 1 fumble recovery touchdown, 1 passing touchdown. He's starting to get the sense he can do it all. The draft is coming up in Nashville. It's April 25th through the 27th. Debo Samuel is my guest. Debo, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
How you feeling?
Feeling good. How you doing?
Good, good. Everything's good here. It's good to see you in studio. So let me ask you, you're about 2 weeks away from the start of the draft. You have set your entire life up for this. You've been working your entire life for it. What's the process been like getting ready for the draft? How's it gone for you?
I mean, it's been pretty busy. I mean, it's like nonstop. I just came off a flight last night, came from New England Patriots. But January 1st, we really got it rolling when I went and got sent off the train in Arizona and Phoenix. And after that, we was training for the combine and then pro day, and now we're just visiting all over the place.
All right, so in terms of the visits, you met with New England. I'm not going to ask you about the details of that visit, but overall, what's it like when you visit a team? For instance, fans always hear about these visits. What exactly are they like? Do you work out for them? Do you just talk to them? What happens?
It's kind of like a meet and greet, getting to know the coaches and the GM and things like that. But far as like running plays and stuff, we don't get into that. We just they just give you coaching tips of what to work on.
All right, so now when you're talking with teams, what do you want them to know about you as a player and as a teammate? What kind of a player are they getting if they draft Debo Samuel?
I feel like you get a player that can do anything. You can put him anywhere out there on the field and he's going to make something happen.
All right, so you went to the Senior Bowl now. You dominated the Senior Bowl. What was that experience like, and what was your biggest takeaway in your time from Mobile?
Me and my agent was going back and forth was whether I was going to go or not, just because of the injuries that I had at USC. So it was crazy. Like 2 days before I gave him a call, I was like, bro, you got to trust me on this one. Like, I'm about to go out here and light it up, and then we're going to raise my draft stock a little bit. And then I just feel like we went down there and did that.
Dude, good for you. I respect that because, you know, when you're a young guy and you're coming up and you've got an agent, and I'm not saying this about your agent, but generally about agents, man, they've done this before. They've repped a lot of guys. They know the process. And for a young guy like you to step up and say, hey, listen, I think I can help myself right here. Where did that mindset come from? What made you think that?
Just the way I was raised. We was raised like, go with your first mindset and it ain't going to lead you in the wrong direction.
All right, now talk about being raised. You came up, you knew early on, like you knew, I want to play football, and I want to play football on TV. And you figured that out at a pretty early age. What was it about the game that you loved so much?
Football teaches you a lot. It teaches you how to overcome adversity, teach you how to be a man, and also teach you leadership skills.
All right, so your father told that story. Now, what about your dad? Your dad was really quick or really good about telling you, listen, this is an opportunity that not a lot of guys have. You want to make sure you understand this. And your parents have talked about how there are a number of different ways you could have gone, a number of different routes you could have taken, but you stayed on the grind. You worked on staying in school, focusing on football. Where did that focus come from?
I think that came from my older brother, just him being that mentor, being the leader of my life for his athletics and teaching me the ins and outs of streets and like things, what not to do and what to do. I mean, he kind of made a couple bad decisions growing up, but he just made sure I wasn't going to follow them footsteps.
So like your brother, what's he like? What kind of an athlete was he?
This is not just because he's my older brother, but I just feel like he was the best athlete I ever seen with my own two eyes growing up. So I tried to do everything that he was doing.
All right. So like it's really interesting because it's hard, man. It's hard. It's hard to stay straight and make the good decisions. So where do you think, why do you think that he had maybe some challenges with those decisions where you made the right calls?
Really, he was kind of hanging around the wrong group of guys. And just like I said, just being that leader of my life and teaching me, like, this is not the route to go. And keeping in, he was encouraging me the whole time just to stay what you're doing and everything going to work out in your favor.
So how's he doing now?
He's doing pretty good.
Good. Good. So you go to South Carolina, and I mean, you're living the dream, right? You go to South Carolina, you're going to play football, you're going to play on TV, you redshirt, and then in your first game, you suffer a hamstring strain that keeps you out for 7 games. How challenging a time was that, and what was it like to have to wait that much longer before you could break through?
When it first happened, I just thought I had a cramp because I never in my life like pulled a hamstring until I went to the sideline and my trainer Daryl was like, can you jog? I was like, nah, I really can't jog. He was like, you pulled a hamstring. I was like, what is that? He's like, it'll sit you out for a couple weeks. So I was during the rehab process, like I was trying to get back there early and it was just tweaks and stuff during then. But it was kind of frustrating at first, just having the game taken away from you for a little bit. But after that, we got it rolling, just attacking like rehab, just like I attack practice in the games.
Debo Samuel joining me in studio. studio, and you did, and you come back, and you had this great one-handed catch in the end zone against Clemson. All right, so one thing to do it, but to do it against Clemson, and it was your first career TD, your dad talks about how proud he was of that moment. What did that moment mean to you personally?
It meant a lot. Just growing up and just watching people get in the end zone, you know, that's what I did growing up from Pop Warner to high school, and just get to do it on a big stage, it was kind of a blessing.
It's challenging, though, right? I mean, you come all the way back, and things are great, and then your second season, you pull your hamstring again, and at that point, it's easy to get down and say, man, you know, why does this keep happening? Why me? At any point did you think, man, maybe it's not meant to be? Maybe it's not in the cards?
Not at that moment, because I just feel like I dealt with a hamstring before, so I know what it takes to get over it. And also, like, start doing things to make me more flexible, like yoga and doing extra training like that. So I really got over that one quick. It only sat me out for, like, 3 games.
All right, so the only thing, not only that, but you've always played a really physical brand of football, a really physical brand of football. And, in fact, I'll give you an example. You got a guy named Stephen White. He's a former NFL defensive lineman. He started off a piece about you, and he wrote, quote, "Before I get into what Debo Samuel is, let me assure you of what he is not: scared," end quote. Time and time again, when analysts talk about your toughness, they talk about how tough you are. Where did that come from? The toughness, the physical toughness.
I think that was built in me at a young age. Like I said, my dad was kind of like my Pop Warner coach, and like he always put in my mind, like, no one, like, don't let one person tackle you, and every time you get the ball, try to get in the end zone. So that's kind of been my mindset growing up.
All right, so I think that's where my next point was going to go. White also talks about how, man, you fight for everything. You fight, you battle for every single yard, and you're not going down with one guy tackling you. If they're going to get you down, it's going to be a gang tackling situation. When you get the ball in your hands, it's going to take more than one guy to bring you down. Is that where that comes from, your dad?
Yeah, that's kind of how I was raised.
All right, so watching you also on film, you like to block. Most receivers do not want to block. Where did that come from?
I mean, the running backs block for you on passing plays. So, like, our receiver coach, Brian McLean, put a lot of emphasis on blocking. So that's kind of part of the job. It's not always about running routes and catching balls. You got to contribute to the team in every aspect of the game.
Debo Samuel joining me in studio. He's getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. So you've attacked everything in front of you. You attacked the rehab process. You've made an impact. As you look over your entire life, to be in the position you're in right now, how much pride do you have not only to be here, but to overcome everything you have to get here?
I mean, I'm like I said earlier, I'm just blessed to be here. If you just look at the way I was raised and by my father, stepmom, and my grandma, like, I was raised in a good way. But as far as, like, where I come from, not too many people make it, so I just cherish every opportunity I get.
So, people, like, are you kind of concerned about yourself, or do you feel even... You don't need more pressure, but do you feel any pressure like, I want to take care of everybody who has taken care of me so far, or at least do the best I can to help out?
I really haven't started thinking about that because I ain't got drafted yet. I really ain't got the money yet. So, I feel like that'll play a part in after the draft process or whatever. If my dad or stepmom or grandma or older brother needs some help and I'm able to help them, I'm going to help them out.
I like that. All right, so you can only focus on what you can focus on. So what about the draft itself? That you can focus on. Have you decided where you're going to watch the draft, who you're going to watch it with, all this work, and then you've got the big day. How are you going to treat that big day?
So I decided not to go to the draft just because, like, I feel like my family and friends played a major role in to where I'm at today. So I kind of share that moment with them. They've been in almost every game that I played in, so I feel like it's only right to share that opportunity and share that moment with them.
All right, so any kind of sense of where you might end up? Do you have a kind of a hunch or a gut instinct?
Be honest with you, I actually don't. So I just feel like whatever happens, it happens.
All right, you're going to find out soon enough. The 2019 NFL Draft is coming up April 25th through the 27th in Nashville. He is an All-American, a first-team All-SECer as an all-purpose player and returner. Debo Samuel joining me in studio. Debo, good to meet you. Good to have you on the program. Listen, good luck with that. We'll be following you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. All right, so we're trying to get as many draft prospects as we possibly can before the draft itself, and we are getting close. He's going to be one of the first names picked. Debo Samuel joining me in studio. All right, your thoughts on that when we come back. Once again, we are wide open.